All right, so good morning. Glad you guys are in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. I was going to congratulate Cindy Spell for winning the competition that she was in. She was in a bodybuilding competition, but she's not here, so we'll surprise her if they come next Sunday. I want to congratulate her for winning first place in some other. Anybody remember first place in something? And I thought that was pretty awesome. She tried to give the Lord praise and honor through her competition. And for the last few months, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. We talked about the Beatitudes. We went several months looking through the Beatitudes. So if you'd like to catch up on that, please go to our website, PaulineBaptistChurch.org. Is that right, Gary? O-R-G? And you can listen to them. They're actually each, Gary puts it in there like Beatitude 1, Beatitude 2, 3, 4, right on down. And I couldn't record the last one because we wouldn't hear, but that's okay. If you want to catch up or feel like driving down the road, that would be awesome. All right, so this morning we're going to be in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Book of Acts 1, 1 through 8. And let's pray for a minute here. Let's stop and pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, to teach your word, to share the good news of the gospel, and talk about the Bible. Lord, I don't want to ever take it for granted, Lord, that we live in a country where we're free to do that. Lord, we just stop right now and ask you to help our brothers and sisters in the foreign countries where maybe against the law, whether it's the literal law of the land or against their religious law or whatever. But they're under attack for even studying or gathering together in houses to preach your word. So Lord, missionaries and leaders in those foreign countries, and Lord, we just lift them up in prayer now and ask you to place your angels encamped about them, Lord, and keep them safe as they teach the good news of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our church family here, Father. We ask you that you would bless us, bless our time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, and let's read. It says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority.'" In other words, Jesus told him, "Mind your own business," didn't he? Because that's none of your business. But anyway, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Amen. When I was studying this and really studying, we're going to spend some time going through the book of Acts. I don't know how long, but we're just going to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord on this, and we're going to go through the books of Acts. Now, when I was studying this, it reminded me of a story that I heard. So I did a little research on it and found there was this man. His name was Kenneth Goff, whatever that means. He was a former communist. And he got glorious saved. I mean, he was saved. He became a Bible teacher in his church here in America. And this guy testified before Congress. They had a committee meeting in Washington, D.C., and concerning communism. This was back in the 40s and 50s. Some of you weren't alive back then, but most of you were, right? He had told them, and let me just read what this man told Congress. He said, "I learned a lot of things about communism when I was a member of the party. One of the things that I learned was that," and you got to remember, this was back before Russia fell. So I'm going somewhere with this. You'll hang with me. So he said, "One thing I learned was that all new converts to communism were required to read and study the book of Acts at least one time. They were required." And I thought that was interesting. He went on to say, "I know this seems very strange, but here's the rationale behind it. See, they didn't really believe in the book of Acts. They didn't believe this was God Almighty. But the reason that they required their folks to do this is because they knew this was history, and that this group of young, ignorant fishermen and carpenters over a period of time basically changed the world and convinced people to accept their faith. Now, the communist leader said that we reject this God, but we're very interested in the methods that they used to change their communities, their country, and impact the whole world. So, for no other reason, I think it would be very important for us to really get into a good Bible study, a good sermon series about the book of Acts. Because I really want us as a church family, as Pauline Baptist Church, to begin looking at this and allowing this to be a model for us to reach our city and our community and our state and our country and hopefully around the world. Amen? So really, I'm kind of casting a vision here, and I know the fall's coming, and so we're going to be getting busy. But I want the book of Acts, I want us all to have a good, solid understanding of this. So please, this morning, allow me to give you a short overview of the book of Acts. Okay, now the book of Acts was literally a letter that was written by Luke. Okay, and they referred to him as what? Anybody remember? The beloved physician. Now, Luke wrote two books. Obviously, he wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And he really wrote them to his friend called, what? Theophilus. I always have to look at it. It throws me off. It's Theophilus. And it literally means, the word Theophilus, his name means a lover of wisdom. And it's kind of where we get the Greek and then the English translation of the word philosopher. Philosopher, if you're a philosopher, you're a lover of wisdom. You want to be able to gain knowledge. Okay? That's one of my personal callings, I believe, that God's placed on my life. We talk about spiritual gifts, is to be able to give out a little bit of knowledge that I have. Okay, reason is, the Bible says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And that word perish means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually be no more. So that's one of my personal callings. Okay, the Bible also says that God freely gives wisdom, but out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So what's God's mouth? The Word of God. Right. So, Acts was written about what Jesus was doing and teaching up to the day that he was taken up. Now, after his ascension, he gave commandments through the Holy Spirit that we just read about in Acts 1:3. He talked about the 40 days. It's real interesting how God uses 40 days, 3 days, 7 days. If you really want to go on a personal Bible study, that's a really good one. But it's one of the durations of time, the only one in the Bible, where it gives us from the day that Jesus' resurrection to the day that he ascended into heaven was 40 days. Now, Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Here he was, you know, resurrected, and he was speaking to the apostles. He was telling them, they were in Jerusalem, and he said, hey, you guys hang out right here. Don't go nowhere. Stay right here and pray. He said, and wait. Everybody say wait. He said, wait. One of my top 10 scriptures in the Bible is God says, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes he wants us to wait. Sometimes he wants us to be still and wait. So Jesus was telling these guys to wait for the promise from the Father, the Holy Spirit. So they would stay there in Jerusalem and pray and wait on the Holy Spirit. Now the book of Acts opens, I'll give you a little overview here. The book of Acts opens with the ascension of Jesus. Okay, there's some interesting facts about this book. The book of Acts is a true story of the first 30 years of the Christian church. Now, some have called this the bridge book. Because, see, the bridge book, meaning, you know, we had the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, the Gospels. So if we didn't have the book of Acts and we went from the Gospel right to the Epistles, it would be kind of confusing. We wouldn't quite understand it because they were talking about the church and everything. And so the book of Acts was really to give us the foundation of who is the church? How did the church come about? What's all this talk about the church? How is it organized? How does it grow? And these are things that I'm really interested in getting deeper into. Now, everybody good? The book, okay, really kind of talks about two great crusades. Okay, there was the Greater Crusade of Jerusalem, which goes into the Acts chapter 1 right on to 12. And then it talks about the Global Crusade. Okay, and the Global Crusade goes from Acts 13 to 28. And we're going to get into these, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to help us out as a body here, and we're going to look in these. But the leader of the first crusade was the Apostle Peter, and the leader of the second crusade was the Apostle Paul. We talked about a little bit in Sunday school about Peter, how he laid low for a while, and then he came on the scene. Another interesting thing is that believers were first called Christians in the book of Acts. And then I find this kind of interesting, and if you want to do a little study about this, you can, but there were three significant conversions in the book of Acts. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. If we go back to the Old Testament, shortly after the flood, all of humanity was separated in three groups. Okay? There were the descendants of Ham, the descendants of Shem, and the descendants of Japheth. Okay? So this kind of answers a question that a lot of people ask us. Does God love all people on the earth? Does God love everyone? And the Bible clearly says, yes, he does. And an example of this love, God loves everyone. No matter their race, color, you know, anything. Genealogy, doesn't matter where they're at in the world. Here's an example which comes out of the book of Acts. Okay, there was a conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a descendant of Ham. And that's in Acts 8. There was a conversion of Saul of Tarsus, which you're all familiar with that. He was a descendant of Shem. And then there was a conversion of Cornelius. And we'll read about and study about him in Acts. He was a descendant of Japheth. And we'll talk about that in Acts 10. So in all these three folks that are left in the world, God saw fit to save and change each one of them. And basically, if you believe in the Bible, all populations of the earth came through those three folks. And so God truly does love all the children of the world. Amen? The book of Acts records one of the top two sermons in the whole New Testament. It was basically five sermons that they say is the most popular sermons, and we've covered some of them in the Sermon of the Mount, the Sermon of the Kingdom, the Sermon of the Second Coming, and then the Book of Acts. We're going to get into the Sermon of Pentecost, and then the famous Sermon on Mars Hill. And so we'll look at that. The Book of Acts is really it's a book of sermons and prayers. There's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. There's 24 sermons. The book of Acts is full of prayers, full of Paul and Silas and Simon Peter, the Jerusalem church, the Antioch church. These are all prayers. Prayer warriors. So the book of Acts is full of sermons and prayers. They prayed at a drop of a hat. They prayed. There was an upper room that they prayed and petitioned to God. A lot of churches today are not interested in this upper room. A lot of churches today are more interested in the supper room than the upper room. And no offense, I love to eat, and we're going to eat in just a few minutes. But I think we definitely can strike a balance between our prayer time and our Bible study time and our worship time and our everything else time. The book of Luke is the longest in the New Testament. The book of Acts is the second longest book in the New Testament. The book of Luke records the birth of the Son of God, and Acts records the birth of the Church of God. The book of Luke illustrates what the Father began to do through the body of His Son, Jesus. The book of Acts illustrates what the Father is doing through His body, which is the church body. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit." The saints, the Christians, are the temple of the Lord now. And God is moving through this temple. The book of Acts is also a book of firsts, a book of final things. The book of Acts is the first example of people speaking in tongues. Shortly before Jesus ascended, it was in Mark 16. He talked about how people will be speaking in tongues. Then the first church elected in the book of Acts their first deacons. That was the first. And I think that's the first time that they actually fasted 429 days. That didn't go over too well. No, they elected their first deacons during this time. And so that's why I joked about them fasting that long to be able to get their deacons together. Sorry, guys. It was the first Christian martyr. It was Stephen. We remember Stephen's story, and the first Christian martyr was Stephen. The first apostolic martyr was James, and he was the brother of John. So again, I'm giving an overview of the book of Acts. Stephen also saw, what did he see? Remember? Ascension of the Savior. He was being stoned to death, and Stephen saw Jesus. It was the first missionary journey on the earth. It was documented in Acts 13. Those are some of the firsts. Now, some of the final things. I love the praise songs that we did this morning, kind of even lined up with the message, and it's interesting how God works that out. The final appearance of God's cloud of witness, this called the Shekinah glory, which led them out of Israel to Egypt. It was the last time that God saw that. It was the last time that they mentioned Mary was in the book of Acts. Towards the end of the book of Acts, they had to finalize the 12th disciple. They had to decide who was going to be the 12th disciple. And they did that by lots, actually, by casting lots. The most important church council meeting was in the book of Acts. One of the greatest storms, they say, since maybe the flood was in the book of Acts. It was Paul. Paul went through a terrible time during this time. One of the most important New Testament visions was recorded in Acts 16. See, Paul saw a man. He was a Greek guy. He was wearing Greek clothes. Paul was telling them, Paul saw a vision. The Greek guy was saying, would you come to Macedonia and help us? The Macedonian vision is one of the most important visions in the history of all time. See, if it wasn't for this vision that Paul had, probably the folks in the Middle East and Turkey and those areas would probably be sending missionaries to us. That's probably what would happen. They would be sending missionaries to us over here and to Europe. And we talked about earlier the book of Acts can be separated into two segments. Part one talks about the crusade of Jerusalem that was led by Peter, the fisherman. And part two is headed by Paul, the tent maker. And that's what we're going to get into for the next few weeks. We start getting back together again. We're going to talk about the adventures of Peter. Lynn and I are going to be on vacation next week, so pray for us. We'll be out. And we appreciate all your prayers for us. So let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. If there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll come and give their life to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.